after its use in social media. How many friends have you got? Oh, 371 and all that stuff. Bruce Hood is Professor of Developmental Psychology at the University of Bristol, author of The Science of Happiness. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Nikki.
Michael Plant is still with us, the founder and director of the Happier Lives Institute, as we talk about this happiness index, and David Epping very soon. Interesting. I haven't said bottom of the index, Afghanistan lowest, followed by Sierra Leone, Lebanon, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Democratic Republic of Congo, Yemen, Lesotho.
War-torn failing states.
Yeah. With many ongoing tragedies and atrocities as well. Bruce, I come on every day and I do this. We discuss thorny issues, difficult issues, very often extremely depressing. Am I a purveyor of misery doing this to people? Does it what they hear in the media, what they see in the media, does that affect our happiness, Bruce?
Well, to some extent, yes, I have to say. But the other thing to remember is that people pay more attention to negative news than happy news. I mean, we've known this for now for decades, that the news tends to have these stories. And it's simply an evolved strategy to pay attention to potential threats. So we give it more attention. That's why the news tends to cover the negative things. And yes, it can shape.
Can I just interject there? Because it's a very interesting point. Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's a very interesting point, and I'd only forget it, is that people always, looking at reactions, I think, always concentrate more on the things that they disagree with. And they also go on about that. You're only talking about that. I said, no, we were talking about the other as well. Well, I didn't hear, it's all about perception, isn't it?
It is. And the question is about happiness. I managed to catch a bit of the call just before it came on. The caller was absolutely right. It's the comparisons that you draw. And so it's very difficult to be objective. If those comparisons are unrealistic, then that can lead people to feel that they're not thriving or are unhappy. So I think that's part of the problem with social media. It just presents an unrealistic view of success. And so people tend to feel that they're not achieving that.
Mm. Is it the our forebears, our forefathers, our foremothers on the step looking out for danger? They're only sort of keyed up to see danger. Is it the same sort of psychology?
Yes, that's true. So various studies show that our reactions to potential threats are much stronger and much faster than our reactions to good news. And again, that would probably be an evolved strategy to make sure that you survive long enough to pass some genes. But the trouble is, nowadays, news travels much faster, much further than it did in the past. So we're constantly bombarded by an avalanche of information. So I think technological era, we now have so many channels of information, which is often full of negative stories.
Mm. Dave,
you can always hear negative news somewhere, which wasn't true. Okay. If you were living in a medieval village, and someone would have to come and tell you that something bad had happened before you learned about it.
Yeah, but there are a lot of diseases. There's a lot of burning of witches and awful things going on there as well, surely.
Well, I mean, it's interesting kind of relating some of the comments. You know, you should take charge of your own happiness and, oh, look at how bad things are. I mean, if you look at it, take the long view, then look, society is wealthier, healthier. We have more technology than we ever have before. But yet, people are still complaining about things and noticing. So people saying, oh, I feel poor today. But then if you compare how kind of poor you were to someone from a couple of hundred years ago, you're enormously wealthier. But then it's just a kind of a fact of human psychology that really what we're sensitive to is we get used to things. This is a hedonic treadmill, but we're very sensitive to changes. So we notice when our income goes up or down, but we actually don't really notice it in kind of absolute levels. And so that's why in the if I can bring it back to my World Happiness Report chapter, that the charities that we find are the most effective are targeting things that people really can't get used to. Things like depression, malnutrition, exposure to dangerous metals like lead, which bond to the brain. And so lots of things we can get used to and some things we really can't. And that's why we find if we really want to maximize our impact, then we need to be firstly following the evidence, but also supporting things which we really can't get used to.
And I'm pointing to the travails of medieval life, and of course this infant mortality, which went long beyond that, and dealing with death and dealing with loss and trying to comprehend and understand and have solace. Some people say it's a driving force in the need that some people have for religion as well. Does religion make us happy, Bruce?
Yes, it does. It's associated with happiness. Provides a structure, a support network. I mean, that happiness report, the factors which predict happiness are, yes, wealth is important, but actually having a good social structure, someone you can rely upon. And that's was part of the reason that, you know, the societies which have social support tend to be the happiest society. And religion in the past was providing a lot of that support and security. So yes, it is associated with greater levels of happiness. But you don't have to be religious. Yeah.
It's in terms of the support network. Exactly, I understand. Yeah. Having people, having a community and a sense of purpose.